Well, we'd be very interested in any similarities you see between the Microsoft case and Google's current business practices.
Well, I mean, there are about a million of them, but to take some of the more obvious examples, so one of the things that Microsoft got in trouble for was bundling. They bundled their own browser into their operating system, and the allegation was that the effect of their dominance in operating systems and the bundling made their browser the dominant browser. And that conduct was held to be illegal under the cases here, and it was also held to be illegal in Europe, and what Microsoft was fined some whopping amount of money, and they stopped bundling it. Now, what Google is doing, just as an example, is starting in 2007, although nobody understood the consequence of it, but starting in 2007 and more recently, what they have done is they have bundled, or to use their word, they have blended into their general search. The general search, Google.com has what, a 75% share in the United States, 95% share in Europe and worldwide. And they have blended maps into that, for example. And they have blended blog search into that, for example. And they threaten to do that with everything, with books, with finance. So the notion is that they're using their dominance in the platform. Their platform in this case is horizontal search. The platform before was the operating system, to extend that dominance into new partial substitutes. The partial substitute was the browser in Microsoft's case. The partial substitute is, say, for the sake of example, web searching, web logs, here, or books, or maybe the best comparison is comparison travel sites, for which there's been a complaint filed against them in Europe. So you can get a lot of information on that. But the point is that they're using their power in one market to both leverage into the next market and to maintain the monopoly in the existing markets because they're eliminating partial substitutes. And their response to that stuff generally is hyper-technical, hyper-legal. I mean, they say, oh, under U.S. law, bundling requires the sale of two products, and neither our products are sold because they're distributed for free, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't change the anti-competitive effect. And more than that, those requirements don't exist under European antitrust law. So, that's one example. But these are not the kinds of things that you can just explain in a sound bite. It takes as many paragraphs as I just did, and I'm explaining it to people presumably who know about it already. So trying to explain it cold is a different proposition. But one of the biggest issues is Google is doing exactly what Microsoft did. And what ought to we do about that? Should we start the debate all over again as to whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, which is what Google would like us to do? Or should we learn from what happened in the Microsoft situation and how the conduct was held illegal by the courts and start there and go from that point?
And would going from that point include something like a federal search commission, like was proposed by Frank Pasquale?
That was proposed back what?
The federal search commission that Orrin Bracha and Frank Pasquale proposed in their paper. They're out of, I think they're at the University of Texas, but a federal search commission is something that's been proposed as sort of a solution to the search neutrality issue, which has come up a couple of times and referred to as either search neutrality, also been described as a search transparency. So would a solution like that seeks to go into the Google search algorithm and examine how search results are returned, is that something that you can see this moving into?
So search neutrality and search transparency are two different things. search transparency says, here's the way I produced the result I produced. Search neutrality says, I'm not going to preference my own properties. I'm going to list the properties according to a truly neutral algorithm. What we know pretty well now is that Google has one algorithm for its own properties and a separate algorithm for everybody else. And you're right, the question is, so what should we do about it? Well, I mean, the problem stems from the fact that we have almost no competition in search. Because if Google was favoring its own properties and it was one of 10 search suppliers with a 10% market share, we could care less, just as we cared less that Apple bundled, you know, its browser back in the 1990s. But that's, of course, not the case. So that's where our problem starts. If we try to solve the problem piecemeal, we're going to get into some difficulties that I'll explain in a second that are obviously apparent to you as well. But the first thing we need to understand is, why are we having this problem? We're having this problem because we don't really have a lot of competition in search, and that would suggest right off the bat that one of the things we do is to keep Google from enhancing its power in search through means other than competition on the merits. So, for example, when Google wants to buy or to do a deal for Yahoo Japan search, we understand what the consequence to that is generally, and that's the kind of thing they shouldn't be doing. When Google wants to buy ITA, we understand that that will have an effect not just on travel, but in their dominance generally on horizontal search, because after all, these travel sites are partial substitutes. So we shouldn't let them do that. So the first thing you say is not the Interstate Search Commission or whatever the hell it is. The first thing you say is, how do I get and maintain competition in search? Okay, so that's the first set of things. Now, obviously, competition in search is not going to happen immediately, even if we did the things that I'm suggesting. So we got to figure out what to do about Google's dominance and its favoritism. Now, I don't know these two Texas professors, but this is not an idea that they created. The idea actually comes from the treatment of Microsoft as a remedy in the Microsoft case. Remember, there is, you know, the body of three wise men, mostly out here. And if somebody has a complaint about Microsoft's behavior that is within, you know, the stated territory of that group, then they can take it to the group and the group can deal with it. And the way the group generally works is that if there's a complaint and the complaint is credible, then it's up to Microsoft to explain why it is that the thing's wrong. In other words, the burden shifts from the person making the complaint to the person who controls all the information, because right now, as you point out on transparency, we don't know what the insides of this thing looks like. But the more I've dealt with these allegations in a variety of different verticals now, I'm beginning to have a better idea of what goes on internally. But generally speaking, we don't know. So the burden shifts, and then the Microsoft committee decides what to do about it. So the question is, would that model work here? And it's very much worth considering. And again, I don't know what's in their paper, so I'm not endorsing that. I'm not really endorsing anything, but I'm saying, does the model have some promise? Yes, it does. Is it the optimum solution? No, because generally speaking, competition is better than any form of regulation. So we'd be better off if we had competition, but since it's not going to occur tomorrow, and since Google seems to be abusing its dominant position, to use European speak, you know, maybe that's the way to go. How exactly it would work? I mean, the basic problem here is that whereas in the Microsoft situation, there were plenty of complainers who had meritorious claims. Here, the number of people that Google has screwed over is enormous. And some of them have, what I consider, having looked at them, meritorious, very meritorious claims. And other ones probably don't. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are people who try to game the system. But the problem is that when Google makes changes to prevent people from gaming the system, they also build into these changes things that hurt their competitors. And I don't think they need one to get the other. And I think the fact that the situation is not transparent means that they're able to do that more or less with impunity. So that's a long-winded way of answering your question, but it's not something new. It's something we've thought about for a while now.
Okay. You also you do a lot of work on the Open Book Alliance, which I believe you founded, which is in opposition to the Google Book settlement. And if you could briefly explain what it is that the Open Book Alliance is about and what its sort of goals are in existing and how it opposes the Google Book settlement.
So, yeah, you're right. I founded the OBA. Actually, I co-founded it with an information scientist from the Internet Archive, Peter Brantley. And I set it up because, I mean, I'm trying to do this briefly, but I wasn't even aware of the Google Book settlement. I wrote a book last year that was published by Penguin on some of this antitrust stuff. And after my manuscript had gone in, but before, you know, the book came out, my agent said maybe I ought to take a look at this because it was the biggest thing going on in publishing, and write an op-ed for the Publishers Weekly or something like that about it. And when I looked at it, my jaw dropped to the table. And it looked like a very serious antitrust problem. And at that stage, there was nobody speaking out about the antitrust issues. Unfortunately, this thing has come up as a copyright fair use kind of issue and their competition consequences, but nobody was focusing there. It was before the government got in and so forth. So I put together a group just to focus on the competition issues. And I tried to get kind of a cross-section of different interests, all of whom were concerned about this, so that there are authors groups, for example, in the OBA, ASJA, American Society of Journalists and Authors, for example, and there's the sci-fi authors, there are two or three authors groups. There are libraries who, like the New York Library Association, for example, and the Special Library Association, which is corporate libraries, and these groups, I mean, the main library groups were concerned about the Google Book settlement, but Google managed to get them conflicted by doing big deals with some of the big university libraries. And the leader in trying to do something different, obviously, was Harvard. When your librarian pulled your books out of the settlement. There are some library associations who don't think that the main library associations have been strong enough in opposing this, and they're part of my group, and there are several of those. There are commercial competitors of Google, which I sort of decided who I would approach. And so I took a book competitor, which the obvious candidate was Amazon, and I took a search competitor, and the obvious candidate was Microsoft. And I asked a social networking competitor, and I chose Yahoo because obviously Facebook has some baggage of its own. So, and then I'm missing one. Oh, and so there's small publisher interests as well. And to give you an example there, the Council of Literary Magazines and Presses is part of my group, and that's things like the prestigious literary magazines. I mean, there are actually hundreds of them, but they're things like the Yale Review and the Kenyon Review. And they're concerned about a variety of things related to competition. So the OBA doesn't really, I mean, it really focuses more on the competition issues than on the fair use issues or the privacy issues, because there are other people dealing with that, and that's not what I set up the organization for. My concern at the time I set up the group was that Google was getting an advantage through the use of a class action procedure that had enormous implications for search and for the sale of books digitally. And rather than me try to explain that all to you, I wrote an article for TechCrunch, which you can easily find, which talks about what's called tail content and how this body of books, although worth almost nothing in terms of publication value, worth enormous amounts of money in terms of search. And so, you know, that's kind of one of the big concerns. The concerns are, what are the effects of the deal on the sale of digital books and the development of that market? What are the effects of the settlement on the search market? Looking at those things, it becomes clear that, I mean, again, we have whole briefs on this, so just trying to summarize it is difficult, but Google got to a position of quasi-exclusivity through a pattern of secret negotiations. There were competitors in this market, plenty, digitizing books, but they all got misled by the publishers and by Google, and as a result, we have one company that controls all this stuff, and it's very valuable stuff for search, and we got to worry about what to do with that situation. So that's kind of a quick once over about the OBA. It turns out that the problem, and this is something that I probably should talk to Larry Lessig about anyway, but it turns out that the problem here, which is that Google is using content, in some cases without permission, but for anti-competitive ends, is now, I mean, the Google Book settlement is, it turns out to be representative of a bigger problem here, because Google is using people's content against them kind of all the time. That's this Yelp problem, for example, that just, you know, that TechCrunch just started making a big deal about in last week, of Google using Yelp's stuff more or less against Yelp for Google's benefit in local search. And there is an even bigger story that I've given to TechCrunch that I hope they'll run with today about how Google, and I'm not going to explain it to you, you'll see it in the press hopefully, about how Google made a change in images, Google images, in a way that increases Google's traffic and decreases the traffic of the content providers. And that's going to be, I mean, if I can convince them to run with it or somebody, it's going to be an enormous issue because it implicates the relationship between Google and every content provider on the web. But anyway, that's, so my point is that the OBA has now, the kind of problem raised by the OBA, this use of content in a way not contemplated, at least by our copyright laws, the use of this content to get an advantage in search is something that's now a much broader problem.